Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning. It has been a great word morning. It's going to be a great word morning. That's all I'm telling you. It is going to be a great word morning. And how God does things. He does it in a way that you can do nothing but say, okay, God, you really do have a sense of humor, don't you? Of all the lessons that we have and have had, the one today is about a donkey. A donkey that talks. A donkey that saved lives. A donkey that said, we're not going that way. But yet, wow, the donkey had to give a reality check to its master that I've been good to you, but yet you are going to beat me. You're going to hit me. And want to kill me when I've done nothing but good to you and for you. And it just gave me such a reminder of the things that have happened in my nation. How God is using a donkey to save lives. Not my will, but God's will. Not my want, but God's want. And I don't like getting into politics or any of those things, but it just was apropos. And the word that God gave me was, even God used a donkey to save lives. Wow. And for those that are not listening to the news, our president just signed a $1.9 trillion helpful package that will help people that are hurting, that will help those that have children. And my understanding is this bill will take half of our children, half of the children of America will come out of poverty because God used a donkey. Many of you will have checks in the bank this weekend to pay your bill, to pay your rent that may be past due, to do the things that you need to do to help your families. Those that need will get, those that don't need will not. Because those that did not need got a tax break from the other $1 trillion bill that didn't help anybody but those that had. This bill will help working families. This bill will help those that have businesses that have shut down, that have staff that they want to hire back, that have people that are in need. This bill will help people like me who are on pensions. This bill will help those that are in need. God used a donkey. God chose a donkey. and we need to passion for those that are in need. Remember the word of God, that the first would be last and the last would be first. God is using what he chose to help his people. Don't get mad. Don't get upset with this messenger. But the word of God just happens to have come at this time. We will be in our Old Testament word today. We'll be in the book of Numbers. But God used a donkey. That's all I can say. God used a donkey to save lives. Then, and he's using a donkey to save lives next. Praise be to our Father God, who chose an honorable man as our president, even though, just like the children of Israel, there were those that rebelled against him. There were those that preferred to listen to and believe lies instead of the truth. That when God does something, he does it big. He does it big. Not us, but God. And when we trust God to do what he does, which is always huge and big, that everybody knows God did it. Not me, not you, but God. And hallelujah, God did it for the American people. Thanks be to the Most High God, who is helping people today, who's helping mothers go back to work. Praise be to the Lord, who's taking care of our children, giving money to healthcare providers so they can reopen their doors. Hallelujah. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father God. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Lord God, we thank you for the blessings. We thank you, Lord, for using a donkey to save your children and for using a donkey to save us. Lord God, we thank you that vaccines will be going out for every adult in this nation by May. And in your will, Lord, it may be before, because you, Lord, are in charge. And we thank you, Lord, for the blessings for those that are in need and need it. Lord God, we thank you for jobs coming back. We thank you for those that have been unemployed being rehired, and those that are still seeking getting a little extra, Lord God. We are thanking you right now, Father God, for helping families get out of poverty, for helping families get a leg up so that they can bring the other foot up, because you're lifting them up. Lord God, we are grateful today. We are blessed today, and we are cared enough to help us when we weren't willing to help ourselves. Lord God, I thank you for this word, this mighty, powerful word that we have this morning. This word that you have given us, for this is the day that you have made. We rejoice and are glad in it. Father God, I pray you increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your sight. For Lord God, you are my strength and my redeemer. I can do nothing without you. I thank you this morning, this beautiful morning, waking me up, hallelujah, with a pep in my step and a praise in my heart. In Jesus' name I pray, thanking you, Lord God, for your blessings. Thanking you, Lord God, for your grace. Thanking you, Lord God, for your mercy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. To the Most High God and to our Savior, Christ Jesus. Whew, hallelujah. I am so happy that God is about to bless his people. He's about to bless somebody. And all I say is thanks be to God. not to the man, but to the Father God. He is, oh, hallelujah. Our God is good. He is so, so, so good. You know, he's good, so good. It's a song we sing every day of my life. Ooh, hallelujah. He is good. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And for all my folks out there that are raising grandbabies, that are taking care of their children's children and their children, Lord God, I ask God to bless these grandmothers and grandfathers and aunts and uncles and godparents that are raising babies that are not their own. I just thank God for all of you. To the word this morning, and as always, it is a good word. It's a good word. It's a good word. Do I sound giddy up? Because I am. I am so giddied up this morning. Let's get started. This is Leviticus word. It's all that answer. And the title again for today's word is Even God Used a Donkey to Save Lives. And we are coming out of the book of Numbers, chapter 21, verses 1, and chapter 22, verse 41. And we will stay in Leviticus. I don't know why. Probably because it's a book, one of those law books that tells you what to do, what not to do. But Numbers, this Numbers word this morning. And we'll be in Numbers all this lesson today. If God if we have time, we will have a psalm or a proverb. If not, psalms and proverbs will be with Mark on Sunday. So let's get into our Numbers word. And it says this in Numbers chapter 21, verse 1. The king of Arad, the Canaanite, who dwelt in the south, heard that Israel was coming on the road to Atharim. Then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. So Israel made a vow to the Lord and said, if you will indeed deliver this people into my hands, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord listened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. So the name of that place was called Harma. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, but we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Now the children, and you know what, if I'm not mistaken, that is what the medical association has on their seals, is it looks like a serpent on a pole. Just throwing it out there. Anyway, now the children of Israel moved on and camped in Obed. And they journeyed from Obed and camped at the Abram in the wilderness, which is east of Moab, toward the sunrise. From there they moved and camped in the valley of Zered. From there they moved and camped on the other side of the Arnon, which is in the wilderness that extends from the border of the Amorites for the Arnon to the border of Moab, between Moab and the Amorites. Therefore it is said in the book of the wars of the Lord, we have in Sipha, the brooks of the Arnon, and the slope of the brooks that reach to the dwelling of Ur and lies on the border of Moab. From there they went to Beer, which is the well where the Lord said to Moses, gather the people together, and I will give them water. Then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, all of you sing to it. The well the leader sank, dug by the nation's nobles, by the lawgivers with their staff. From the wilderness they went to Madonai. From Madonai to Nahalia. And from Nahalia to Bamoth. And from Bamoth to the valley that is in the country of Moab, to the top of Pisgah, which looks down on the wasteland. Then Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites, saying, let me pass through your land. We will not turn aside into your fields or vineyards. We will not drink water from wells. We will go by the king's highway until we have passed through your territory. But Sihon would not allow Israel to pass through his territory. So Sihon gathered all his people together and went out against Israel in the wilderness, and he came to Jahaz and fought against Israel. Then Israel defeated him with the edge of the sword and took possession of his land from the Arnon to the Jabbok, as far as the people of Ammon, for the border of the people of Ammon was fortified. So Israel took all these cities, and Israel dwelt in all the cities of the Amorites, in Heshbon and in all its villages. But Heshbon was the city of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who had fought against the former king of Moab and had taken all his land from his hand as far as Arnon. Therefore, those who spoke in Proverbs say, come to Heshbon, let it be built, let the city of Sihon be repaired. For a fire went out from Heshbon, a fire from the city of Sihon. It consumed Arb and Moab, the lords of the heights of Arnon. Woe to you, Moab! You have perished, O people of Kishmash, has given his sons as fugitives and his daughters into captivity to Sihon, king of the Amorites. But we have shot at them. Heshbon has perished as far as Dibon. Then we laid waste as far as Nephah, which reaches to Medeba. Thus Israel dwelt in the land of the Amorites. Then Moses sent to spy out Jazer, and they took its villages and drove out the Amorites who were there. And they turned and went up by the way to Bashan. So Or, king of Bashan, went out against them, he and his people, to battle at Edrei. Then the Lord said to Moses, do not fear him, for I have delivered him into your hand with all his people and his land, and you shall do to him as you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwell in Heshbon. So they defeated him, his sons, and all his people, until there was no survivor left him, and they took possession of his land. Then the children of Israel moved and camped in the plains of Moab, on the side of the Jordan across from Jericho. Now Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was exceedingly afraid of the people because they were many, and Moab was sick with dread because of the children of Israel. So Moab said to the elders of Midian, now this company will lick up everything around us as an ox licks up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. Then he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, at Pithor, which is near the river in the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, look, a people has come from Egypt. See, they cover the face of the earth and are settling next to me. Therefore, please at once curse this people for me, for they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land, for I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed. So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the diviners' feet in their hand, and they came to Balaam and spoke to him the words of Balak. And he said to them, lodge here tonight, and I will bring back word to you as the Lord speaks to me. So the princes of Moab stayed with Balaam. Then God came to Balaam and said, who are these men with you? So Balaam said to God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent to me saying, look, a people has come out of Egypt, and they cover the face of the earth. Come now, curse them for me. Perhaps I overpower them and drive them out. And God said to Balaam, you shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. So Balaam rose in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, go back to your land, for the Lord has refused to give me permission to go with you. The Lord has not given me permission. We got to do what God says too. Come on now. Let's keep moving and see what Mr. Balaam is going to do. And the princes of Moab rose and went to Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. Then Balak again sent princes more numerous and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus says Balak, the son of Zippor, please let nothing hinder you from coming to me, for I will certainly honor you greatly, and I will do whatever you say to me. Therefore, please come, curse this people for me. Then Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, though Balak were to give me this house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now, therefore, please, you also stay here tonight that I may know what more the Lord will say to me. And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, if the men come to call, you rise and go with them, but only the word which I speak to you that you shall do. So Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. Then God's anger was aroused because he went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. And he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back into the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? And Balaam said to the donkey, because you have abused me, I wish there were a sword in my hand, but now I would kill you. So the donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey on which you have ridden? Ever since I became yours this day, was I ever disposed to do this to you? And he said, no. Have I ever hurt you? Have I ever did anything to keep you from doing what you had to do? Did I keep you from doing your assignment? And this is me adding to, not actually to the word, but just to clarify, this poor donkey had done everything it had ever been asked to do. And here he was getting abused. And let's see what happens. Because you know what? What did the donkey say? Was I ever disposed to do this to you? And he said, no. But you got to stop and think. I mean, put a pin in this. This is beyond reality. You are riding on a donkey, and you done beat that poor donkey. And the donkey says, forget this. I'm getting ready to talk to you. And the doctor turns around and says, listen, listen. Am I not your donkey on which you have ridden? Ever since I became yours to do this day, was I ever disposed to do this to you? In other words, did I ever stop to keep you from going forward? Did I ever move you to the side against a wall? Did I ever just stop and lay down? And he had to tell her no. He had to tell her no. And then this, come on now, let's get to the word. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you because your way is perverse before me. The donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely I would have killed you by now and let her live. Come on now. And Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way against me. Now, therefore, if it displeases you, I will turn back. Then the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I speak to you that you shall speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. And when Balak heard that Balaam was coming, he went out to meet him at the city of Moab, which is on the border at the Arnon, the boundary of the territory. Then Balak said to Balaam, did I not earnestly send to you, calling for you? Why did you not come to me? Am I not able to honor you? And Balaam said to Balak, look, I have come to you. Now have I any power at all to say anything? The word that God puts in my mouth, that I must speak. Come on, y'all. The word that God puts in my mouth, that I must speak. So Balaam went with Balak, and they came to Karjaz, Huzar. Then Balak offered oxen and sheep, and he went, and he sent some to Balaam and to the princes who were with him. So it was the next day that Balak took Balaam and brought him up to the high places of Baal. We know that's idolatry. That from there he might observe the extent of the people. You cannot force God. Can't force God. Let's keep it moving. Then Balaam, and we are in Numbers chapter 23 to chapter 24, verse 25. Then Balaam said to Balak, build seven altars for me here and prepare for me here seven bulls and seven rams. And Balak did just as Balaam had spoken. And Balak and Balaam offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Then Balaam said to Balak, stand by your burnt offering, and I will go. Perhaps the Lord will come to meet me. And whatever he shows me, I will tell you. So he went to a desolate height. And God met Balaam, and he said to him, I have prepared the seven altars, and I have offered on each altar a bull and a ram. Then the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, return to Balak. Thus you shall speak. So he returned to him, and there he was, standing by his burnt offering, he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up his oracle and said, Balak, the king of Moab, has brought me from Aram, from the mountains of the east. Come, curse Jacob for me, and come, denounce Israel. How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? How shall I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? From far from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. There are people dwelling alone, not reckoning itself among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, or number one-fourth of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my end be like this. Then Balak said to Balaam, what have you done to me? I said, must I not take heed to speak what the Lord has put in my mouth? Then Balak said to him, please come with me to another place from which you may see them. You shall see only the outer part of them and shall not see them all. Curse them for me from there. So he brought them to the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, and built 7 altars and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. And he said to Balak, stand here by your burnt offering while I meet the Lord over there. Then the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, go back to Balak, and thus you shall speak. So he came to him, and there he was standing by his burnt offering, and the princes of Moab were with him. And Balak said to him, what has the Lord spoken? Then he took up his oracle and said, rise up, Balak, and hear. Listen to me, son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Can I say it again? God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? We better understand, God is in charge. Behold, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Again, God's blessings are not irrevocable. Can't nobody take what God has for you. He has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. The Lord, his God, is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brings them out of Egypt. He has strengthened like a wild ox. For there is no sorcery against Jacob, nor any divination against Israel. It now must be said of Jacob and of Israel, oh, what God has done. Look. A people rises like a lioness and lifts itself up like a lion. It shall not lie down until it devours that prey and drinks the blood of the slain. Then Balak said to Balaam, neither curse them at all nor bless them at all. So Balaam answered and said to Balak, did I not tell you, saying, all that the Lord speaks, that I must do? Then Balak said to Balaam, please come, I will take you to another place. Perhaps it will please God that you may curse them for me from there. So Balak took Balaam to the top of Peor. He's trying. He's doing his best. He's like, I don't care what you say, you're going to curse these people. And let's keep it moving. He said, that overlooked the wasteland. Then Balaam said to Balak, build for me here 7 altars and prepare for me here 7 bulls and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had said, and offered a ram and a bull on every altar. Now when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he did not go as at other times to seek to do sorcery. But he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam raised his eyes and saw Israel encamped according to their tribes. And the Spirit of God came upon him. Then he took up his oracle and said, the utterance of Balaam the son of Beor, the utterance of the man whose eyes the words of God, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with eyes wide open. What a word. What a word. God is not plain. God is good. His word is true. And all we have to do is listen, because Balaam is understanding who is in charge, and it is God. Who is in charge? It is God. Every time he tried to use sorcery, every time he tried to throw out a curse, every time he tried to go against God, what happened? Could not go against the word of God. He could not do what he wanted to do because God was in charge, not Balaam. Now God used a donkey to save the lives of his people. Why would he think that he is going to allow him to curse them? Every time that Balaam thought he could force, you can go to every corner of the earth. If something is not the will of God, it is not going to happen. You are not going to curse God's children. You are not going to take what is not yours to have. You can call out. You can do whatever you want to do. But if it is not God's will, it is not going to happen. Hallelujah. And we're going to go back one more time to this word. And this is what it says. Then he took up his oracle and said, the utterance of Balaam, the son of Beor, the utterance of the man whose eyes are open, the utterance of him who hears the word of God, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with eyes wide open. How lovely are your tents, O Jacob, your dwellings, O Israel, like valleys that stretch out, like gardens by the riverside, like aloes by the Lord, like cedar beside the waters. He shall pour water from his bucket, and his seed shall be in many waters. His king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brings him out of Egypt. He has strengthened like a wild ox. He shall consume the nations, his enemies. He shall break their bones and pierce them with his arrows. He bows down. He lies down as a lion, and as a lion, who shall arouse him? Blessed is he who blesses you, and cursed is he who curses you. Then Balak's anger was aroused against Balaam, and he struck his hands together. And Balak said to Balaam, I called you to curse my enemies, and look, you have bountifully blessed them these three times. Now, therefore, flee to your place. I said I would greatly honor you, but in fact, the Lord has kept you back from honor. So Balaam said to Balak, did I not also speak to your messengers whom you sent to me, saying, if Balak were to give me this silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord to do good or bad of my own will. What the Lord says that I must speak. And now, indeed, I am going to my people. Come, I will advise you what this people will do to your people in the latter days. So he took up his oracle and said, the utterance of Balaam, the son of Beor, and the utterance of the man whose eyes are open, the utterance of him who hears the word of God and has the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with eyes wide open. I see him. But now, but not now, I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise up out of Israel and battle the brow of Moab and destroy all the sons of Tumut. And Edom shall be a possession. Sir, also his enemy shall be a possession while Israel does valiantly. Out of Jacob one shall have dominion and destroy the remains of the city. Whew, word this morning. What a word, what a word, what a word. Then he looked at Amalek, and he took up his oracle and said, Amalek was first among the nations, but shall be last until he perishes. Then he looked on to Kenneth, and he looked up at his oracle and said, the firm is your dwelling place, and your nest is set in the rock. Nevertheless, Cain shall be burned from long until Ishar carries you away captive. Then he took up his oracle and said, alas, who shall live when God does this? But ships shall come from the coast of Cyprus, and they shall afflict Ishar and afflict Eber, and so shall Amalek until he perishes. So Balaam rose and departed and returned to his place. Balak also went to his way. The word of God is true. Whew, all I can say is it's been a good word. Come on now. God used a donkey to start this journey. God used a donkey to get Balaam's eyes open. God used a donkey to start this man on the journey to doing what's right. You can't curse God's people. You can't do what you think you're going to do to the people of God. Let's keep it moving, y'all. We are in Numbers chapter 25. And it says, now Israel remained in Acacia Grove, and the people began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab. They invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel was joined to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, take all the leaders of the people and hang the offenders before the Lord. Out in the anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel. So Moses said to the judges of Israel, every one of you kill his men who were joined to Baal of Peor. And indeed, one of the children of Israel came and presented to his brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping at the doors of the tabernacle meeting. Now when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest saw it, he rose from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the men of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her body. So the plague was stopped among the children of Israel. And those who died in the plague were 24,000. Now understand, in the last big plague, 14,700 people died. And in this, 24,000 people died. God does not play. When he sends a plague, he sends it to get your attention. 500,000 people have died in this nation. Over 500,000 people have died in this nation because of a plague. Do you think that God might be trying to get our attention to do what's right amongst ourselves, to treat our brother and our sister as we want to be treated, not to allow the politics of divisiveness to divide us up, that we would rather die than live? Come on now. God is trying to get our attention, that we cannot allow the color of my brother's skin to keep me from helping him or her, to keep me from doing what's right. God is watching everything. Hallelujah. And God will use a donkey to do what he needs done. As we continue, verse number 10 of chapter 25 of the book of Numbers, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, has turned back my wrath from the children of Israel, because he was zealous with my zeal among them, so that I did not consume the children of Israel in my zeal. Therefore say, behold, I give to him my covenant of peace, and it shall be to him and his descendants after him a covenant of an everlasting priesthood. He got blessed from doing the will of God and stopping the plague of Israel. God is righteous. Goes on to say, because he was zealous for his God and made atonement for the children of Israel. Now the name of Israelites, who was killed with the Midianite woman was Zimri. I'm going to say that again. Now the name of the Israelite who was killed with the Midianite woman was Zimri, the son of Shalu, a leader of the father's house among the Simeonites. And the name of the Midianite woman who was killed was Cozbi, the daughter of Zor. He was head of the people of the father's house in Midian. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, harass the Midianites and attack them, for they harassed you with their schemes by which they seduced you in the manner of Peor and in the manner of Cozbi, the daughter of the leader of the Midianites. Their sister who was killed in this day is a plague because of Peor. Now understand, be careful what you name your children. You know, I've seen many little children named Zamari. Do you know who Zamari was? You know, because they done looked in the Bible and they got a biblical name. Zamari was murdered. Zamari was killed because he was dibbling and dabbling in idolatry and harlotry and promiscuity. He was all up in the mess. And he lost his life. Cosby. You know, Be careful what you name your children. Just because a name is in the Bible don't mean it's a good name from the Bible. Read the word before you name your child Zamari. It's not a good name. You wonder why your child has got stuff going on. Because you named him after a cursed person in the Bible. Be careful what you name your children. You know, I am a firm believer that names are important. You know, and as we continue in chapter 26, God permit we have enough time to get through the whole thing. But we're going to try. We're going to put a pin in chapter 26. And we will come back in chapter 26. We'll be read on Sunday with our New Testament word. And we'll go from there. Because I don't want to miss anything. And I know my time is limited because there's some things I want to hit from our life morning. And so we're going to go back to some life lessons today. And the first life lesson is from Numbers chapter 21, verse 2. And it says this: if you will indeed deliver the people into my hands, when I will utterly destroy their cities. God allowed a pagan king to take some Israelites captive in battle. But when we serve God, momentary defeats give way to ultimate victory. Adversary is a setback from which we take our greatest leaps forward. Adversity is a setback from which we take our greatest. We all may be going through adversity. We may all be up to our ears in paperwork and what we got to do and how we got to do this and how we got to get our taxes done. You know, are we going to get this done? Are we going to get that done? How we going to? Adversity is a setback from which we take our greatest leap forward. Numbers 21 and 9. Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and so it was. If a serpent had been anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. This bronze serpent that Moses made is the desert foreshadows the ultimate work of salvation that Jesus accomplished for us on the cross. John 3:14-16. We are blessed beyond measure, family. And as we continue, Numbers 21:24. Then Israel defeated him with the edge of the sword and took possession of his land from Arnon to Jabbok. In years to come, Israel often remembered the victories God had given them over Shihon and Or. We'll see it in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 4, in Joshua chapter 2, verse 10, in Judges chapter 11, verse 21, in Psalms chapter 35, verses 10 through 11, and in Nehemiah chapter 9 through 22. It helps us move forward when we commemorate spiritual victory. We got to remember the blessings of God. And this is from chapter 22. I have come out to stand against you because your way is perverse before me. Why was Balaam's way perverse before God? Because despite his good words, he harbored ill will against God's people. And eventually he died because of it. Numbers 31, verse 8, and we'll be getting to that. Those whom the Lord blesses will not be cursed, and woe to any who try. And I'm saying, we may be wondering why somebody is sick, who we know we've been kind to, but who every time they see us got something nasty to say. And we wonder why they're going through, what's going on with them. And it just might be that they called themselves cursing you and got cursed themselves. You don't go up against the people of God with foolishness. You know, folks talking about the pastor, folks talking about the people of God, folks trying to cause confusion and wondering why things are going wrong in their life, because you're not doing right by God's people. And Balaam is going to find that out later on. We got to do what we must do. Life lesson from Numbers 24 and 4. I will advise you what this people will do to your people in the latter days. Balaam not only advised Balak what Israel would do to his nation in the latter days, but apparently he also advised him how to get Israel to sin and so lose the favor of God. Numbers 31 and 16, Revelations 2 and 14. And what did they do? Used women. Used women to mess up God's people. Used women to mess them up. Used women. And then chapter 25, they invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. Even a polite invitation to worship any god other than the Lord ought to be immediately and firmly rejected. We are to serve God alone, no exceptions. We can't be serving people. You can't put a golden statue of a man and worship it over God. That is idolatry. And we have worked in idolatry too many times. We got to stop worshiping people, places, and things over God. And then it goes on to say, Phinehas, a man with a zeal for God, Numbers chapter 25, verses 12 through 13. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the grandson of the high priest Aaron, was a man noted by God for his zeal. God highly esteemed him and gave him a remarkable promise because of his passion. And how did Phinehas earn such favor? He took a javelin in hand and executed a wicked Israelite who had brazenly committed adultery with a pagan woman in full sight of the nation. In other words, he's going to try to talk some mess. And like, I don't care what Moses says. I don't care what Aaron say. I don't care what they God say. I'm going to do what I want to do. This is my woman. Okay, Mr. Zamari, you do you. And what happened? He wound up dead and hurt too. And this is what it says. The quick action of Phinehas stopped a divine plague that took the lives of 24,000 sinning Israelites, and the Lord lauded him for his godly zeal. As believers, we are to have a passion for God. To say the word passion often carries a sexual connotation, but the true meaning of the word is an overwhelming, strong desire, which can be a strong desire for matters of the spirit. Like Phinehas, believers are to have an urgency, a zealous desire for the Lord and everything related to him. We got to be fervent for the Lord. We got to be excited for God. Numbers 25 and 18, they harassed you with their schemes by which they seduced. Understand, the wicked will try to seduce you with everything, and it is not of God. With riches, the love of money is the root of all evil. And we have to know that those that will try to get you to walk and talk and follow after money are not of God. God is a God of love. God is a God of compassion. God cares about his people. And this is a word. It says they harassed you with their schemes to which they seduced. Got Zamari all messed up with a woman. Come on now, and understand, who was she? She was the daughter of the head of the people's father's house in Midian. She was powerful. She was a powerful child from a powerful family and was trying to mess up the children of Israel. She was there for a purpose and a reason. Come on now. And then it goes on to say, Satan has his own people who scheme to seduce God's people into sin. We must remain aware of their traps and escape from them by knowing God's word and depending on God's power. Hallelujah. I thank God for his word. I thank God for his power. I thank God for all that he is doing in our lives and in our ministries. And I'm going to tell you now, we're going to be going over this morning. You know, I was trying to say I was going to leave chapter 26 for Sunday, and I just felt in the word of God that I need to do it today. So I hope you guys don't mind staying with me for a few more minutes this morning as we continue in the word of God, because this word is so good that we must continue in it. God's word is so true, and we got to do what God says do. And so I'm going to do what God says do and finish chapter 26 so that we will be able to go into our New Testament Psalm and Proverb word on Sunday, which is what I was originally given, and trying to do something else. But I'm going to do what thus says the Lord, you know, because I'm not going to be like Balaam trying to get out of doing what's right. I'm going to do what God says to. So hopefully you can stay with me. If not, may you have a wonderful, blessed day. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, I pray over you and yours for those that must leave at 8 o'clock. But we're going to go a little bit over and read chapter 26 of Numbers, because God told me to, and I'm going to do what I'm told to do. And it says this in Numbers chapter 26. And it came to pass after the plague that the Lord spoke to Moses and Elijah, the son of Aaron, the priest, saying, take a census of all the congregation of the children of Israel from 20 years old and above, fathers' houses, all who are able to go to war in Israel. So Moses and Elijah, the priest, spoke with them in the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho, saying, take a census of the people from 20 years old and above, just as the Lord commanded Moses and the children of Israel, who came out of the land of Egypt. Reuben was the first of Israel. The children of Reuben were Hanok, the family of the Hanokites of Pulu, the family of the Pulites of Hezron, the families of the Hezronites of Carmi, the family of the Carmites. These are the families of the Reubenites. Those who were numbered in them, of them, were 43,730. And the sons of Pulu were Elab. And the sons of Elab were Nemuel, Dathan, and Abiram. These are the Dathan and Abiram representatives of the congregation who contended against Moses and Aaron in the company of Korah. When they contended against the Lord, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, together with Korah, that company died, when the fire devoured 250 men, and they became a sign. Nevertheless, the children of Korah did not die. The sons of Simeon, according to their families, were of Nemuel, the family of Nemuelites; Jamin, the family of the Jaminites; Jachin, the family of the Jachinites; Zerah, the family of the Zerahites; Shaul, the family of the Shaulites. These are the families of the Simeonites, 22,200. The sons of Gad, according to their families, was Zephon, the family of the Zephonites; Haggai, the family of the Haggites; Shunai, the family of the Shunites; Oznai, the family of the Oznites; Eri, the family of the Erinites; of Arad, and the family of the Aradites; of Ariel, the family of the Ariel. These are the families of the sons of Gad, according to those who were numbered of them, 40,500. The sons of Judah were Onan. Er and Onan died in the land of Canaan. And the sons of Judah, according to their families, and again, Er and Onan, you know, we'll get to that. And the sons of Judah, according to their families, were Shelah, the families of the Shelahites, Perez, the family of the Perizzites, Zerah, the family of the Zerahites. And the sons of Perez were Hezron, the family of the Hezronites, Hamuel, the family of the Hamuelites. These are the families of Judah, according to those who were numbered of them, 76,500. The sons of Issachar, according to their families, were Tola, the family of the Tolites, Pua, the family of the Punites, Jashub, the family of the Jebusites of Shemron, the family of the Shemronites. These are the families of Issachar, according to those who were numbered of them, 64,300. The sons of Zebulun, according to their families, were of Sirith, the family of the Sardites, Elion, the family of the Elionites, Jeliel, the family of the Jeliatites. These are the families of the Zebulunites, according to those who were numbered of them, 60,500. The sons of Joseph, according to their families, by Manasseh and Ephraim, were the sons of Manasseh, of Michar, the family of the Machirites. Michar begot Gilead, and Gilead, the family of the Gileadites. These are the sons of Gilead, of Jezer, the family of the Jezerites, of Helik, the family of the Helikites, of Esrael, the family of the Esraelites, of Sheshem, the family of the Sheshemites, of Shemediah, the family of the Shemedites, of Hefer, the family of the Heferites. Now Zelophehad, the son of Hefer, had no sons, but daughters. And the names of the daughters was Zelophehad, and the name of, and Mehli, Noah, Hegla, Melchi, and Tarza. These are the families of the Manasseh. And those who were numbered of them were 52,700. These are the sons of Ephraim, according to their families. Shushalite, the family of the Shulahites of Becher, the family of the Becherites of Tahan, the family of the Tananites. And these are the sons of Shulahai of Aaron and the family of the Aaronites. These are the families of the sons of Ephraim, according to those who were numbered of them, 32,500. These are the sons of Joseph according to their families. The sons of Benjamin, according to their families, were Abila, the family of the Belites, Ashbel, the family of the Ashbelites, Aharam, the family of the Amorites, Aramites, of Shapham, the family of the Shaphanites, Shupham, the family of the Shuphanites, and the sons of Bela were in Eretz. And Naaman, and Ered, the family of the Eredites, and Naaman, the family of the Naamites. These are the sons of Benjamin according to their families, and those who were numbered of them were 45,600. These are the sons of Dan according to their families. Shushim, the family of the Shemites. These are the families of Dan according to their families. All the families of the Shuhamites, according to those who were numbered of them, were 64,400. The sons of Asher, according to their families, was Jimna, the family of the Jimnites, Jeshu, the family of the Jesuits, Bera, the family of the Berites, the sons of Bera, Heber, the family of the Heberites, Malachiel, the family of the Melchimites, and the name of the daughters of Asher was Shira. These are the families of the sons of Asher, according to those who were numbered of them, 53,400. The sons of Naphtali, according to their families, were Jezeel, the family of the Jezelites, Juni, the family of the Junites, Jezer, the family of the Jezerites, Shelem, the family of the Shelemites. These are the families of Naphtali, according to their families. And those who were numbered of them were 45,400, who were numbered of the children of Israel, 601,730. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, to these the land shall be divided as an inheritance, according to the number of names. To a large tribe you shall give a larger inheritance, and to a small tribe you shall give a smaller inheritance. You shall be given its each shall be given its inheritance according to those who were numbered of them. But the land shall be divided by lot. They shall inherit according to the name of the tribes of their fathers, or according to the lot of their inheritance, shall be divided between the larger and the smaller. And these are those who are numbered of the Levites, according to their families: of Gershon, the family of Gershonites; Korath, the family of the Korahites; Merari, the family of the Merarites. These are the families of the Levites: the family of the Libnites, the family of the Hebronites, the family of the Malites, the family of the Mushites, the family of the Korahites, the family. And Korah begot Aram. The name of Aram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, who was born to Levi in Egypt, and to Aram she bore Aaron and Moses, and their sister Miriam. To Aaron was born Nadab and Abihu, Elijah and Ithamar. Nadab and Abihu died when they offered profane fire before the Lord. Now those who were numbered of them were 23,000, every male from a month old and above, for they were not numbered among the other children of Israel, because there was no inheritance given to them among the children of Israel. These are those who were numbered by Moses and Elijah, the priests who numbered the children of Israel in the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho. But among these there was not a man of those who were numbered by Moses and Aaron, the priests, when they numbered the children of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai. For the Lord had said to them, they shall surely die in the wilderness. So there was not left a man of them except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Wow. This has been 40 years in the making, y'all. And this is what it says, Numbers 26 and 65. There was not left a man of them except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. God has said that all those who had accepted the spies' report and refused to enter Canaan would die in the wilderness, and his word came true. It, and that is the word. Again, his word came true. It always does. God's word is true, and God will use even a talking donkey to save his people. And he did. And we are blessed beyond measure because we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Give God honor, give God glory, and give God praise this morning, every day. But today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you all for listening in a little bit over this morning. I do have a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, today, and that word is this. Good morning. God will give you strength for every battle, wisdom for every decision, and peace that surpasses all understanding. Have a fantastic Friday, family. You know, God always gives our sister in Christ a word that needs to go forth, a word that is going to help somebody. We are so blessed beyond measure to be children of the Most High God, to know that God is in charge in all things. We'll work for our good because we believe in God, because we know that God is in charge. So I thank God for our sister in Christ. I thank God for her word of wisdom this morning. And I thank God for each of you. And again, that word is good morning. God will give you strength for every battle. Gave the donkey strength, didn't he? God gave Phineas the strength within that javelin to send it through Cosby and Damari's bodies to kill them, to stop a plague that had killed 24,000 people. Come on now. Whew. Wisdom for every decision. God gave Balaam an understanding. Don't play. You think you're getting away with something, but you're going to take what you're going to try to do, a curse, and make it into a blessing. surpasses all understanding. God gave Aaron and Moses an understanding that you guys are going forth. You may not make it in the promised land. Just like Dr. King said, I may not make it. And he didn't. Moses and Aaron did not make it. But the children of Israel did. You and I will. Because when you trust in God, believe, he will make your path straight. He will give you a talking donkey to keep you from going in the wrong direction. Let God work in your life. Because God will use, can use anything to guide us, to lead us, to take us where we need to go. And in our story today, he used a donkey. And in our lives today, he's using a donkey. Trust God and believe that what God has for you is for you. Your blessings are irrevocable. Nobody can take from you what God has for you. Keep God in your heart. Keep God in your mind. Keep God in your spirit. For God is marvelous. And he is wonderful. And he loves you more than anything. He loves you more than anything. Thank you, Father God, for your word this morning. Thank you for helping us move forward in all of the words you have given me to you to read today. Lord God, I pray that you will continue to watch over your people, to bless them, to guide them, and to lead them in your direction, Lord God. Please protect us from the evil one. For those that are getting stimulus checks, Lord God, let them pay tithes on them. Let them use them for the good of their family, not for anything they don't need, but for what they do need. Lord God, I ask your blessings. I ask your grace, and I ask your mercy over your children. Forgive us, Lord, for any sins we may have committed in thought, in word, or in deed against your divine majesty. Lord God, I thank you for this mighty, powerful word this morning. And I thank you for the blessings of Abraham that you have bestowed upon your children, those that were born into your divine order and those that have been grafted in. Lord God, we thank you this day, for you made it just for us. You gave us another day to breathe. You gave us another day to live. You gave us another day to move. And you gave us another day of your being. Father God, we live, we move, we have your being. We ask you, Father God, that the Holy Spirit rain on all of us, that we, Lord God, will speak your word, not our word, that we will take your light wherever we go, that light of Christ Jesus, who is our Savior, Lord God, let it shine on each and every one of your children, that those that see us see you in us. I thank you again, Father God, for Sister Carolyn's word, and I thank you for your mighty word. I thank you for Dr. Stanley and the life lessons that you have placed in his heart to give to us through this word. We ask you, Lord God, to watch over him, to bless his ministry, and watch over all your people. On this day, Lord God, we thank you. We trust you, we believe in you, and we give you honor, glory, and praise, for you are God, and greatly to be praised. In the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, I thank you, I praise you, I lift up your name, Father God, for you are Elohim, you are Jehovah, you are Jehovah, you mighty, and you are wonderful. You are my God and my Father, and I love you. With all my heart, I thank you this day. Again, that you are made, I rejoice, and I'm glad in it. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for watching over us all. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, thanking each of you for going over with me this morning as we study the Word. Let the word permeate your heart, your mind, and your spirit. If there is anyone that has a word from God that would like to speak in our overtime this day, please push the number 1 on your phone. If not, we are wrapping it up, family. But I don't have to go to work right away, but I got some grandchildren to go talk to and play with. My grandson tried his best to get on air this morning. He was trying, but God wouldn't let him. But he sure did come in to see if he could get on the air this morning. So keep my grandchildren in your prayers. Keep God as the most wonderful thing in your life. And if you have grandchildren, love on them. And if you have great-grandchildren, you are doubly blessed, triply blessed. You are very blessed. So keep God first in everything that you're doing. And know that, ooh, what a marvelous thing he is doing in each and every one of you. Thank you so much again for listening. Be blessed. Have a wonderful day. And keep God first in everything that you're doing. And even know that even though it may seem awfully strange, and I was like, Lord, are you sure this is a title? You want me to give this lesson this morning? And that title was again, what is the word? Even God used a donkey to save lives. What a word. And we have a caller. And caller, your line is open.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Your line is open.
I was wanting to share with those that are listening because you'd be reading out of Dr. Charles F. Stanley's Bibles. He comes on WLUJ Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and also 11:30 p.m. And on Saturdays, he comes on at 1 a.m. And then on Sundays, he comes on at 5:30 a.m. So if you want to hear more of his word, besides, you know, the teaching from our blessed woman of God, you can hear Dr. Charles Stanley In Touch Ministries going forth on WLUJ 89.7. And if you don't have the frequency on your radio, you can also go on your computer and pull it up or your phone. God bless
Thank
you.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much, Minister Shannon, and I am all up in her Dr. Stanley time this morning. So I am getting off so she can get a few more minutes of Dr. Stanley's words from WLUJ this morning. Again, thank you for listening, my sister. Get in your last few minutes with Dr. Stanley. As we all say together, it is a wrap. It's a wrap, family. Thanking God for each of you again, Minister Shannon. Thank you, Evangelist. We appreciate you and we love you. And we ask God to continue to watch over you and yours today and always. Have a blessed day, family. We love you. I'm moving forward. Join me again on Sunday. God willing.
Amen.
Again, we'll be in Psalms, Proverbs, and our New Testament, which will be coming out of the book of Mark. Thank you so much. Be blessed. It's a wrap. It's a wrap. Can you say it's a
wrap? It's a wrap.
My baby just told y'all, it's a wrap. One more time, baby. It's a wrap. Have a blessed day, y'all.